For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Virginia has received the first of two shipments of medical gear from the federal government to engage in the fight against the novel coronavirus. Meanwhile, in Lynchburg, Liberty University bucks the college consensus on campus coronavirus safety. And what can Virginia's experience with the influenza pandemic of 1918 teach us about how to respond to COVID-19? This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, March 25th. As of Wednesday morning, nearly 4,500 people in Virginia have been tested for the coronavirus, with 290 cases now confirmed. Seven people have died in the Commonwealth from COVID-19. Virginia has received the first of two shipments of medical gear from the federal government stockpile. That includes gloves, masks, and gowns that have been in short supply at hospitals. At a press conference on Tuesday, Secretary of Health Daniel Carey said the president should force factories to produce medical gear under the Defense Production Act.
That type of direction and coordination at the national level would help every state and every territory. But it doesn't mean we're waiting. It doesn't mean we're not taking advantage of every opportunity.
Governor Ralph Northam says the state is contacting private companies to try to purchase more personal protective equipment, even placing one order with an international business.
We're also reaching out to other industries to see who is willing to make their supply of PPE available. For example, we're talking to dentists, to people in the tech industry, the coal industry, and tobacco companies.
State officials have put in an order for 1.5 million medical masks that are set to arrive in 10 days. New rules on Virginia businesses went into effect Tuesday night. Gyms, theaters, other entertainment businesses must close for at least 30 days to help combat the spread of COVID-19. Governor Northam says the state will not ease restrictions by Easter, as the president has suggested.
We have nowhere come close to hitting that peak of the curve, but if we continue to do what we're recommending, we will hopefully flatten that curve as much as we can.
Businesses that have questions about the new rules can send an email to business@virginia.gov. Officials in Lynchburg fielded complaints on Tuesday about the hundreds of students who returned to Liberty University amid the coronavirus outbreak. City Manager Bonnie Svercek said that the city was disappointed that students were told they could come back and take their online classes on campus. Liberty's action is at odds with many other colleges that have urged students to stay home amid the global health crisis. The university said it is providing safe and reliable accommodations and taking extra steps to ensure students' health. Liberty spokesman Scott Lamb said about 1,100 students were back on campus as of Tuesday morning. Liberty University President Jerry Falwell Jr., one of President Donald Trump's earliest and most ardent high-profile supporters, has generally characterized concerns about the virus as overblown. In response to Liberty's decision, Governor Northam said, quote, "All Virginia colleges have a responsibility to comply with public health directions and protect the safety of their students, faculty, and communities. Liberty University is no exception." The Virginia Department of Education is giving local school districts flexibility to waive some graduation requirements for high school seniors. That action results from Governor Northam's decision to close K-12 schools for the rest of the academic year. Megan Pauley from Partner Station VPM reports.
In a briefing Tuesday, Governor Northam said that while he knows the community understands the move to close schools was necessary, that doesn't make the change any less painful.
High school seniors who are facing their last semester of school with no prom, no graduation ceremony, none of the rites of passage that should mark these big changes.
The Virginia Department of Education provided guidance to school districts Monday night about a number of credit-based graduation requirements that can be waived for seniors for classes like history, economics, and fine arts. Other requirements, like emergency first aid and certain hands-on training, will require action from lawmakers in order to be waived. Megan Pauley, WMRA News.
Local governments across Virginia are in the middle of budget season, which has now been complicated by the financial crisis gripping the global markets. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Every city council and board of supervisors in Virginia is in a fix. How are they possibly going to balance the books when they have no idea what their revenues are going to be? And the fiscal year starts in just a few weeks on July 1st. Jennifer Victor at George Mason University says budgets will be based on a lot of guesswork.
There's a sort of this gigantic confidence interval of uncertainty around those estimates, which if you're a local budget planner, makes it almost impossible for you to plan your future because you just don't know what your revenue is and you assume that it's going to be low.
James Regenball is a financial consultant who works with the Virginia Association of Counties. And he says the good news for local governments is that property assessments were already locked in for this year before the economy tanked. The bad news is a lot of other revenue sources will take a big hit.
There's basically the point of sale items. Think of that as going to restaurants, paying your sales tax and meals taxes, going to hotels, paying your sales and transient occupancy taxes. So that's what you got to estimate. What's the reduction in retail activity?
And then there's the other budget season uncertainty, how to hold public hearings in the age of social distancing. Many local governments are planning some kind of way for people to participate online. Michael Pope.
The General District Court in Richmond issued an order this week to halt evictions during the coronavirus outbreak, but housing advocates are worried about people losing their homes in other parts of the Commonwealth. Yasmin Juma with partner station VPM reports.
The order extends the deadlines for all scheduled evictions until early April. After that, Richmond's General District Court can keep extending it until the end of the judicial emergency period declared by the state's Supreme Court last week. Under state law, writs of eviction expire after 30 days. Christy Mera from the Virginia Poverty Law Center says there are concerns because other local governments don't have these protections for their residents. For example, in Loudoun County, eviction judgments and writs are still being granted.
Sheriffs are not moving forward with writs because they want to, but because they feel as if they don't have another choice.
Mara says legal aid offices across the state are working with sheriffs on ways to get similar orders passed in their localities.
That's Yasmin Juma reporting. Political campaigns are on pause right now because of the virus outbreak, but all the deadlines for political parties are still on the calendar. Michael Pope has that story.
Republicans and Democrats need to figure out some way to send delegates to the political conventions this summer, assuming those conventions meet as expected. Virginia Republicans were planning on meeting in early May for a convention to select delegates. Now they've postponed that until late June. Republican Chairman Jack Wilson says party leaders are talking about figuring out some way to have a virtual convention, but
we got to make sure that how we elect our delegates to the national convention is in accordance with our state party plan, or we run the risk of our delegation not being seated at the Republican National Convention in Charlotte.
Right now, the party rules don't allow for a virtual convention. So if they want to do that, they'll need to figure out some way of changing the rules without meeting in person. Democrats are also trying to navigate their way through this, and party chairwoman Susan Swecker says Democrats are strongly considering some way of having a virtual convention.
There is no other way to do it, whether it's through teleconference or online. People don't want to go out, and we don't want to put anybody at risk.
Democrats are scheduled to have their national convention in mid-July in Milwaukee. Republicans are planning to have theirs in late August in Charlotte. For now, both of those conventions are still on, although party leaders are consulting with health officials and the Secret Service. Michael Pope.
The spring and summer months are, of course, some of the most popular times to get married, but because of concerns about the virus, many weddings are being put on hold. Rebecca Longoria is a wedding planner in Richmond. She says more than half of her clients have had to cancel their big days.
I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't know when to tell them is a safe time to have their loved ones travel and be with them for a really special and monumental day. And I'm supposed to be the person that knows.
Governor Northam's ban on groups of more than 10 from gathering in public is an effort to curb the spread of COVID-19, but it has also put off most wedding celebrations. Well, finally today, the coronavirus crisis is not the first time that Virginia has dealt with a major pandemic, and Michael Pope has this look back at the flu outbreak 100 years ago and some lessons of what not to do.
Roanoke was on lockdown. Churches and schools were closed. Theaters, bowling alleys, dance halls, and pool halls, they all shut their doors as people isolated themselves in their homes. No, the year is not 2020. It was 1918, and Roanoke was dealing with a massive outbreak of influenza, an outbreak they initially tried to ignore and hope for the best.
Yeah, what happened in Roanoke was really just, it's inexcusable.
That's historian Garrett Peck, who wrote about the 1918 flu pandemic in the book The Great War in America.
For example, Philadelphia, there was a big parade that went through the city of soldiers, and they infected everyone. So just like in Roanoke, I mean, it really just had this huge outbreak. Versus, say, St. Louis, where the public officials closed down all the public facilities.
Roanoke eventually closed down all public facilities, but it took too long to get there. Former Roanoke Mayor Nelson Harris wrote about the 1918 flu in his book Hidden History of Roanoke. He explains the initial reaction failed to understand the gravity of what they were dealing with, especially in the early days when the flu suddenly showed up at Hollins College and at a Baptist orphanage and among railroad workers.
Each of those locations had an outbreak of the Spanish flu all at the same time, basically all on the same weekend. And that's how the flu arrived in the Roanoke Valley.
The local health director in Roanoke decided the best course of action was essentially to do nothing.
The general idea was that as long as those who had fallen ill were quarantined and kind of kept at the orphanage or at the campus or in their homes, that all would be well, that this was not something that the public should be concerned about, and they did not sense at that time that it was going to be highly contagious.
Well, they were wrong about that, and it had dramatic consequences in Roanoke.
Within really a matter of a week, we began to have between 80 and 100 cases of the Spanish flu per day. And so it just escalated to where the medical establishment here was absolutely overwhelmed.
That's when city leaders finally called for people to essentially shelter in place, avoiding public contact and implementing a strict sense of social distancing. Roanoke was closed for business for about a month before people started returning to public life, just as America was celebrating the end of World War I. I'm Michael Pope.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected, and I hope you do enjoy your Wednesday.